Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful week and an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day with your friends and loved ones and family. Friends, the Eucharist remains for us the source and summit of the Christian life. And at this time of struggle and trial in the church, destabilizing, discouraging, confusing life in the broader culture, the place we need to draw our strength and our sustenance is right there. It's the body of believers, disciples, followers of Jesus who are drawn by the Lord himself to his word as the Lord proclaims the word to us and really to his food. He's feeding us. And the Eucharist is the place where the whole of the Christian life is defined. Some ways you could think about it, even on a personal level, it's the place where I learn who I am. Most perfectly, what's revealed there is the most perfect expression of what my life is meant to look like. It's Jesus, my leader, my Lord, my God, my King, teaching me and teaching all of us together as one body what it means to be successful, you might say, using contemporary terminology. What does a successful life look like? Well, how do you define success? I mean, people in the culture are trying to define it all the time. And what we end up doing as believers, we absorb the pattern ways of thinking of the broader culture as the culture defines success. And so what that ultimately ends up being for us individually is our sense of whether we're successful or not is defined by people in the broader culture and how they respond to us. And if the culture values what we're doing, then we're valuable, right? If I'm a big football star and it's very clear, for example, that if I'm a big athlete in contemporary culture, the culture elevates that, accepts it. If I'm successful as a physician or successful as a businessman, it's what we do, right? Ultimately, that defines if we're successful or not. Another way to talk about it is, well, a person is successful if they've set goals and they've reached their goals. And if they reach their goals, they're successful. But the deeper reality, and the only one ultimately that will satisfy us, is to ask the question, what's a worthy goal? The goal I might set might be something I'm able to achieve, but is it a goal that corresponds to who I am, corresponds ultimately to the good, not that I create for myself, but that God himself creates? And what we see in the Eucharist is Jesus teaches us. He's like a life coach there, you might say. He's teaching us the way and the truth. He's giving us light about what it means to be human, what it means to live a life that actually reaches its goal, a goal that corresponds to human dignity, to God's purpose for us. Now, each scripture is very clear. It says each one of us are made for Christ, made through Christ, made by Christ for what? To follow in his footsteps. In some ways, the whole human race was meant to be a gift to Christ from the Father. And fallen human nature has separated us from God. Jesus has come to regather us. He's come to draw us back into relationship with God the Father, present us to God the Father, and draw us all into the communion of love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the Eucharist, we see how Jesus defines success, and he defines success through love. The ultimate goal of human life is for every human being to first love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus demonstrates for us what that looks like. What does that kind of love look like? Well, it's expressed in obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said he loves the Father, and expressing that love, he said, happens through obeying all the commandments that the Father gives him. He said, the Father's will is my very food. It's what I'm living for. It's difficult to keep that priority, that is the first commandment, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength in the first place in our lives. It takes some work. It takes a renewed mind. It takes determination. It takes the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. It takes the help of a living community. It takes the help of the sacraments. It takes good preaching and good leadership from pastors and leaders in the community to all help us remember to reinforce, wait a minute, don't be absorbed by the broader culture's definition of what success looks like. Because usually it falls into categories like, have I built something? Is my bank account big enough? Do I have enough people who like me? Am I receiving enough rewards from the world? And oftentimes, those markers of success have very little to do with loving God first. That's what needs to be reinforced in the body of Christ. It's sanity to lay hold of that and to walk in it. And there's a passage in John's Gospel, John 14, that I've referred to many times over the years, that I think is the most one of the most beautiful and intimate passages in the entire Bible, revealing to us the heart of Jesus, what motivates Jesus. In that chapter 14 of John's Gospel, the whole chapter is spectacular. It's a deep revelation of Jesus' own self-awareness of who he is, why he's come, and he reveals to us what matters most. For example, toward the beginning of that chapter, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and henceforth you know him and have seen him. So this is Jesus is talking both to the Pharisees, but also to the apostles, that to see Jesus is to see the Father. Jesus is so united to the Father. He's the way to the Father. He's come to reveal the nature of the Father and to dispel the lies and the confusion about in the world that either God doesn't exist, and if he does exist, he's harsh, he's angry, he's distant, he's impersonal, he's just a force. No, he's a loving Father. And Jesus said, to see me is to see the Father. And I just love Jesus' depth of his self-awareness and his desire to simply be at the service of the Father. He's not there asserting his own identity in the sense of the reason I need to be here, I need to carve out my own path and to be independent of everybody and everything. I need to be the one who's the source of my own identity. Jesus receives his identity from the Father in humility and gratitude. And it's the source of his joy. It's the source of his life. Jesus is happy, delighted, passionate, grateful to be able to say, essentially, who he is comes from the Father. He receives his identity, the eternally begotten Son, who's God from God, light from light, who shares God's nature. He's delighted to be able to point with his whole life to the Father. And the whole meaning of life, he reveals, is for us to be directed to the Father. And he's come to make that possible, to give us his relationship with God the Father. Jesus goes on to say, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. The Father who dwells in me. Jesus knows that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in communion, eternal communion. And the whole meaning of Jesus' coming is to draw a fallen race of people that were made to be in relationship with God, in the family of God, in profound communion of love, which is the only place we're going to ever be fulfilled, friends. Jesus has come to make that communion possible. He deals with all that separates us from that: sin, death, the world, the flesh, the devil. Jesus came to break that whole regime of power over the human heart, to bring forgiveness, the mercy of God, and the forgiveness of sins, and to bring God's very life to each and every one of us, so that we become temples, literally temples of the living God. Jesus is saying that the Father dwells in him. And throughout chapter 14 and beyond, he unfolds the reality of the goal, ultimate goal of his coming, and the destiny of his goal, you might say, of his coming, is to be in you and in me, to make it possible for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And here's the ground of our dignity, friends. Here's the apex, the highest possible reality for human life, and the only way to everlasting life, and the only way to total human fulfillment, is God dwelling in us as in a temple. So Paul will say in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he reminds us that you're temples of the Holy Spirit. He actually says, test yourselves. Don't you realize that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the temple of God. You're the dwelling place of God. That's most perfectly communicated in the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the place where the people of God who are now dwelling, carry in their hearts the indwelling presence of God, come together as one body around the one table that represents the one sacrifice, which shows us the one pathway to human fulfillment. Friends, in the core of the Eucharist, Jesus is teaching us that the way to life is not complicated. The way to absolute, spectacular success in your life is not complicated. It's quite simple. Success is defined by love. The first commandment, Jesus called it the first and the greatest. It defines greatness, and it defines what is of first priority above all things. And in any walk of life, no matter what I've accomplished, even in ministry, if I'm the most famous preacher, teacher in the world, and I can fill stadiums, and I can do this, that, or other thing, Jesus is not going to ask me when I get to heaven, hey, how many people did you have at that stadium event? You know, how many people bought your books? He's going to ask me, not how big is your ministry or how big was your business, but how big is your heart? How much did you love? Did you learn from me that the whole meaning of life is to first and above all things to be radically surrendered to my Father, to lay hold of his commandments and to radically obey him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? That's the heights to which we're called, but it's very difficult in the world if we're not pursuing Jesus on a daily basis, reading his word and having our mind cleansed and living in vital Christian community with others where these truths can be reinforced and regularly attending the Eucharist and allowing Jesus to be your life coach. I know it can sound a little bit trivial because he's so much more than that, but what do life coaches do to help you reach your goals, to help you be successful in life? Well, Jesus is there leading, saying, follow me, I'm the way. I'm the way to absolute success and total fulfillment. And only this pathway is the way to the kind of fulfillment that will satisfy you at the deepest level of your being. So Jesus said, and here's John 14:30, I will no longer be with you. He's saying this to the apostles that he's gathered here in the last discourse he's had with them before he ends up going to Calvary, before he's arrested. He said, the ruler of this world is coming after me. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me. Why? So that the world may know that I love the Father. That's Jesus' first motive, his first motivation. That's why he hung on a cross, not only to save you, to save me, to break the powers of sin and death, and to disarm the principalities and powers that are behind it. Jesus went to that cross to make a statement that will echo for all eternity. And every time the Eucharist is offered across the world, the deed by which we were saved, where Jesus honors the Father and expresses his love for the Father, is represented, and he calls us to imitate him and follow him. Let's do that with the help of the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.